But it's Dallas at Nashville that we go to next. Pete Weber's the play-by-play voice for the Nashville Predators. He joins us next with Gord Stellick on Hockey Night in Canada Radio.
Get close.
All right, Petey, here we go.
You got it.
Hockey Night in Canada Radio with Gord Stellick on Sirius Channel 157.
Let's get right at it. We got 9 games going on around the National Hockey League tonight. Dallas Stars taking on the Nashville Predators. Joining us, the play-by-play voice. You in your home studio right now, Pete Weber. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yes, I am. And yes, it is very cool because you can sit here, you can have the servants fan you with palm leaves and all that stuff. So it's absolutely great.
Did you get carried around kind of like Celine Dion did in her wedding, that kind of thing? Is that the deal?
No, I think it was more like Bobby Riggs was when he had that showdown in the Astrodome with Billie Jean King.
So you got a big sugar daddy sucker there.
That's right.
Set. Talk about Shea Weber. I mean, that's encouraging news. We hear concussions. We start thinking, oh, my God, it could be forever. And they seemed optimistic about it initially, and that seems to have been borne out. Why it's not that severe, which is great, and what the prognosis is about how many minutes or what they expect.
They're going to expect a lot of minutes because he's been paired once again with Ryan Suter for tonight. So there we're going to be talking somewhere in excess of 23 minutes, probably all the way up to 27. They reshuffled the defense pairings this morning so that Jack Hillen will play with Frankie Bouillon, and then it will be Roman Josi going with Kevin Klein on what likely will be the second pairing tonight. So, yeah, you never know. He just wanted to try in practice. We had it open to the public practice on Tuesday. The place went absolutely nuts when they saw him on the ice in a regularly colored jersey, no non-contact indications whatsoever. He's gone through 2 days of workouts and evidently has felt fine. I know Shea is a very intelligent young man, number one, because he's not actually related to me. And he has evaluated this situation very carefully for himself.
Now, how would you assess the year so far? They made the win a playoff series for the first time in their history. Mm-hmm. It just seems like there's a bunch of teams that are just in the middle there, like Nashville,
yes,
just above the litmus paper test and just below the Mason-Dixon line, whatever it may be. And what have you guys looked at the season so far?
Well, we're trying to alter the Mason-Dixon line because of our location. But
so just the Dixon-Dixon line.
To get north of that if we possibly can. And I know the Chris Mason line didn't work all that well against your earlier guest, Lars Eller, last night of that spectacular penalty shot. But what they are trying to do is find some way to get, you know, this is not a team with secondary scoring because there's not that much primary scoring. So they're trying to make sure they can maybe enlarge the committee and the contributors to that. And then just taking maybe for granted, but trusting in the goaltending of Pecorino heading on down the stretch. His numbers are not quite what they were a year ago, but he's still stolen many more points than he's truly given up.
Now, one other question, because it kind of died after a day or two, but it came out after Christmas about the Shea Weber concussion. And as people know, a lot of people know, he switched agents in the summer, went through the whole process there. And an agent came out and was upset about what? The treatment? The lack of
disciplinary action taken against Mark Fistrick, right.
So he felt like just a Christmas break, so everybody took a break. He thought there just should have been, that was his problem. He felt there just should have been a suspension or something?
As I recall his quotes, yeah, exactly. That was the way he felt about that whole situation. But, hey, you know, it depends, as my broadcast partner Terry Crisp would put it, whose ox is getting gored here. And from whatever side of the fence you might be standing, you always are going to have a feeling that way. We can talk all the time, as John Tortorella did in his effective retraction apology yesterday to Monday's on-ice officiating. You always have that situation where the most difficult job in the world, you think, is the on-ice officials. I still think, although the torch has been passed from Coley Campbell to Brendan Shanahan, not a job I desire.
Hey, what are the outdoor classic as far as any kind of interest? You always wonder how it grows the game outside the hotbeds, and particularly in the Northeast where there is cold weather. Does it pique the interest of some non-hockey fans who turn in for it?
It's amazing how many watching parties I heard about here in Nashville to take that game in. That's people That is appointment television now for them. They can't wait for it to happen. People who work on the technical crew on our telecasts vie for jobs wherever that might be to work that particular day. That's how popular it has become here. Now, I don't know if I can explain this simply or not, but I think it's the whole idea of, hey, it's a much different and much more exciting bowl game than what we've become accustomed to over the years.
So it does the job as far as what the, for what the NHL is looking to do.
I think so. Absolutely. Now, I would hope that we never go beyond two per year. I think it would be great to have one in Canada again, as we did last year. But I would also like to spread the wealth a little bit. I would love to see the Kings and the Sharks at Stanford Stadium in Palo Alto, for example. I'd like to see cross-country. I'd love to see, because of the rivalry built up in the Stanley Cup Final last year, I'd like to see Vancouver and Boston, and likely in BC Place. There, Dan Craig wouldn't have to worry too much, would he? We'd have the climate control situation very well in hand, but still have the authenticity of effectively an outdoor venue.
Do you think it's ready for somewhere like California, like you said, or Nashville or whatever, now with the technology, and if you play it at night, that, you know, you could hit the weather right, that you should look at it?
Absolutely, I do. You know, there were a couple, I'd say 3 years ago, 3 and 4 years ago, we likely could have had that game here in Nashville at the Titans LP Field without the need for refrigeration. I mean, you're taking your chances with the weather, whether in the Northeast or not. And you might recall what it was like in the mid-'80s, early 90s. Buffalo was trying to take advantage of its weather with an annual Winterfest. Well, the 3-4 years they had it, they couldn't get any snow, so they stopped it. So we are prisoners of the weather.
Pete Weber, play-by-play voice for the Nashville Predators on FSN Tennessee, joining Gord Stellick here, Hockey Night in Canada Radio. A couple of players to ask you about. I always am interested in Colin Wilson, because I think a lot of people know, I mean, here in Toronto, that Nashville was second in the Phil Kessel trade sweepstakes, and apparently the Boston Bruins wanted Colin Wilson. That was a guy that Nashville wasn't going to part with. And it's been kind of slow sledding, but how's it coming for him?
The sled's been moving downhill for him much better now, I think. Basically from the outset of training camp, he was wondering why he was not in the lineup in that opening series against Anaheim. The coaches, I think, made it clear to him why not. He worked on those thinking aspects of the game, and I think got back to it very well. Now, his problem right now, he suffered an upper body injury, which none of us were really aware of prior to the game at St. Louis last Friday night, and is still wearing a no-contact jersey right now. But I think overall we have to say that he has made significant progress this year, and in many ways the line he has been playing on with Nick Spaulding and Jordan Tootoo has become the club's most consistent, the one line the coaching staff seems to trust the most.
It's funny, Kelly Rudy's a guy I'll talk about. You know, first we'll talk about Matt Cook. Everyone points to him, and a guy really changing his game. And Jordan Tootoo probably isn't that dissimilar.
No, not at all. And Jordan had to, I mean, it was a very slow process for him, and he had to go through the rehabilitation middle of the season last year too. And I think he's come back a changed man in all aspects of his life, not just his hockey life. And because of that, it's a situation where the coaches implicitly trust his game.
Now, you see Ryan Miller, how he's playing with the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, then you got on the flip side, Henrik Lundqvist. We had him on Hockey Night in Canada Radio a few weeks ago. And, you know, you really realize that people might think Sean Avery's New York. A guy like Lundqvist is New York. There's different personalities.
Yeah.
Capture it. And Pekka Rinne to hit the level. I know it's not been like Marty Brodeur years, but a number of years, and keep doing it year in, year out, and doing it once again, where we see a guy like Ryan Miller, for example, falter for a bit. What are the keys about his goaltending, whether it's his makeup or the style he plays, that he continues to be so successful?
I think he has the great mentality that, okay, I gave that one up, I'm not going to give up another. He's able to throw that one off rather than drag it through the ringer and himself through the ringer also. And you bring up the name of Henrik Lundqvist. And thanks to HBO's 24/7, final installment tonight, we saw, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Henrik Lundqvist working on playing the guitar. Matter of fact, with the little jam session involving John McEnroe. Well, guess what? Pekka Rinne has been working on learning the guitar. His instructor has been none other than Anders Lindbach. Now, maybe we can come up with more instructors than that, but they can't go on the road with us here from Music City.
And they can use your home studio.
Absolutely they can.
Dynamite.
We have all the miking available here, and we'll do MP3, wave recordings, however they want it.
Now, to talk about Shea Weber as well, is this a team that really, I don't know if anybody has a guy over the barrel, team over the barrel more than, say, Shea Weber does. I mean, it seems to me Nashville has to sign those guys, that the understanding is, and once they sign Renee and surprised a few people maybe, and the owner, you made reference to the Hockey News story about it, is it maybe the most critical signing of all 30 teams that a guy like Shea Weber stay with the Nashville Predators?
I think it is very important. The ownership has already said here that's their firm intention, and they're getting the checks ready. They do want to have all three here together. And maybe because of the timing, Ryan Suter might be the domino that has to fall next, because he will be unrestricted this summer. Shea will still be restricted. And strategically, I think that's the way they're approaching things right now. And you know, we can always take various stats and so on, but the Preds somehow or another, while they were 0-for-13 on the power play with Shea Weber out of the lineup for four games, they were still 3-1. So try to figure that all out and then see the burden that was carried by Ryan Suter during that period of time. And among other things, Ryan said, "I need some lozenges. I'm getting hoarse from communicating all the time with all these otherwise unfamiliar defensive partners."
Well, you know, I leave all the brain work to your partner Terry Crisp. So I'll just
I do too.
I'll be watching all the games tonight, so I'll be catching your act as always. And the Predators got it going. Keep it going tonight. And you have a very happy New Year, Pete. Always appreciate when you join us.
Thank you so much. Enjoy being with you. And guys, maybe should we all get together this summer and go out for some of John Anderson's hamburgers?
That's right. There's two left here in Toronto, so we'll figure it out. Okay.
I'll drive up to Buffalo. Come across the bridge. We'll have some fun.
Okay. Although we'll bring some chicken wings too. We'll figure
okay,
out.
Okay, I'll bring the wings. That's
fair.
We'll
work on an exchange. There we go. I like it. Always comes back to food.
NAFTA.
We're on the media side. See you, Pete.
Take care.
Pete Weber.